You believe you are invisible, as you are supposed to be. But you are not. Not to me. The butler, Harris, refills my wine glass. Do I really have to be entertaining again? It's almost entirely against my wishes, and you, my unusually attractive housekeeper, are visible right over the shoulder of the woman sitting at the far end of the table from me. She is the feminine peacock I am meant to be admiring. My housekeeper. My servant. Mine. There's something delicious and terrible in that word when I think about you. I am only your employer, yet some ancient and primal part of me wants to own you, own your body, take you to my bed, do every terrible thing that no proper lady could ever condone, no woman of any standing, do every last thing that explains why I have never married, why I must protect any woman from the depths and depravity of my lusts. You are so much more beautiful than all these others, although you are dressed so simply, quietly organizing whatever is taking place in the hallway as the servants move about. You always set the example for the others. You inspire them to take pride in their work. You listen to them. You have reduced complaints and made my household the envy of so many others. There you are now. Back straight, knees ever so slightly bent, so as not to faint as the hours stretch on. How these guests are droning on, and now all I can think about is the wall beneath the staircase, out in that hallway no more than a foot behind the only person I want here, the only woman. My body may be sitting in this chair, I am holding a glass of passable wine. However, my mind is in the hallway, with you. There is a special production at the theater tonight. Everyone at the table rises. Most of the other servants around the room blink themselves back into motion like reptiles who have been lying in the cold for too long. You respond more quickly. So responsive. Instantly responsive when I give you any command. You are more awake than the others. Have I been the one keeping you awake? How I want to. Steal your sleep. Fill your nights. Fill your body. Finally, I am walking towards you, although you pretend to be too busy to notice. The drunken peacock has carried her glass from the table. You move to follow her, but I stop your foot with mine. Before I can speak, Harris appears, as if the devil conjured him there. As usual, he smells of silver polish. You, on the other hand, made changes as soon as you came into my household. Now, all of the household laundry smells faintly of lavender. You smell of lavender. That means that my bed sheets smell faintly of you every maddening night. It is so rare that I am so near to you. Harris is jealous of my time, as you well know. To him, I am a status object. At times, I am certain he would wear me like a sash if he was able to. To you, I am a man. When you look at me, I feel like a man. My body responds on its own. Despite your best efforts, your stolen glances and otherwise lowered eyes fail to hide your interest. Fail wonderfully. I try to stop Harris from intruding. I wish to speak to my housekeeper. He says, I'm certain I can. I interrupt him. You look remarkably unlike a housekeeper, Harris. He says, thank you, sir. I'm certain I can do anything, so I ask him. Those are trousers you're wearing, yes? That makes him pause. Yes, sir. I have no need of a person in trousers at this precise moment, so unless you care to change your clothes. No, sir. Harris glares at you, my housekeeper, for a long moment, which I believe takes real bravery. I have little patience with bullies, and he will soon know it. Finally, he nods, but seems to make up his mind about something that never bodes well. However, on the positive side, he leaves. The drunken peacock reaches the open front door. She drops her clasp behind her where it smashes. Some drops of her wine even splash onto my shoes. The other servants race to clean up the mess and the broken glass. I pull you gently into the dining room, just out of view of the others. Immediately we speak over each other. You say, "I am terribly sorry," just as quickly as I say, "It is not your fault." You pull a clean handkerchief out of your sleeve. I reached out to take it from you to assure you it will not be needed, but to my astonishment, you dropped to your knees on the rug at my feet. You took your fingers under the hem of one of my trouser legs and started dabbing away at the spots of liquid. "Mrs." My tone is breathless. What could I possibly say? I clench my hand into a fist to try and regain control of my body. Dab, dab, dab. My control is slipping. The others have disappeared outside or into the back of the house. Someone will return at any moment. Neither of us can deny the tension in the air. We are both silent. It sounds as if everything in the house has stopped except for the steady, ominous ticking of the grandfather clock. It warns me. Your touch will ruin her. Your unchecked desire will destroy her. She cannot withstand what you would do to her with your teeth, your nails, your tongue, and your cock. You slowly pull back. You turn the toes of your boots in and sit back on your heels. Slowly, ever so slowly, you look up the length of my body, leaving me scorched in every place your gaze touches me. You are looking up to see my reaction, and you are worried, almost scared. You wonder what will happen to you. You are afraid of what you will have to pay for this impropriety. You have touched me directly, or at least an item of clothing as I am wearing it. You may well be expecting a reprimand, even a look of horror, but there is no rebuke in my mouth. All I want in my mouth is your skin, your fingers, your breasts. You know your place. I know your place. It is beneath me, but not in the way I am aching for. This is madness, and it cannot continue. My control will unravel if I do not stop this now. So, it is my time to frighten you with the truth. I whisper, but the words pain me to say them. Stand up. When you have, I ask you bluntly, without even the thinnest veneer of a civilized man, do you fantasize about me? You hesitate, and then nod. Do you know the word fuck? You nod again. I whisper directly against your ear. Do you know how desperately I need to fuck you? Do you have any idea how much the thought has been tormenting me every day since we met? I have fantasized about fucking you against that wall behind you. Dark fantasies about holding my hand over your mouth so your screams cannot be heard. I pull away to check your expression, but you are only listening intently. You have not run away. Shocked, I ask, can you not see what kind of man I am? You simply nod again, forgoing calling me sir each time you speak so that our conversation remains as quiet as possible. My voice deepens and darkens. My hand over your mouth as I lift your skirts. Force your legs apart and force my cock inside you. I would ruin you, damage you beyond words, put your mind, your heart, your life, and your soul in peril. You're staring at my mouth as if my words are the finest wine, the most delectable chocolates. I have watched you for so long. I have never seen you look at any other man the way you are looking at me now, so I must demand. Say what you're thinking. Now. Sir, have you ever taken a woman against her will? Not in fantasy, in real life. That I can answer quickly and truthfully. Never. But I have fantasized about it, and I am far from proud of that. I have fantasized about that and worse, with you. You cannot understand the darkness in my mind. You tell me, I am your servant. Do with me as you please. I do your bidding in all things. It is impossible that you do not see the growing hunger in my eyes, the basest beast inside me slipping its bonds. I give you one last warning, afraid it will not work, terrified that it will. I would break you beneath me. I would draw blood from you. I would scare you off your senses until you went screaming to the police. I will never forget what you said in response, with a blush of want in your voice. Sir, I do not run very quickly.